right now on the Midday 180.
Titans and Ravens this Sunday. We have full coverage of the matchup, including Coach Mack and outside linebacker Harold Landry. The Midday 180 starts now.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
We will also hear from Godfrey and Clay Travis today, plus Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. Midday on 80, delivered by Edley's Barbecue. The crew is all here. Looking at Chad Withrow and Paul Kuharski, David Reed is the chairman of the board. Gentlemen, good morning.
It feels like the weekend. Feels like Friday. It feels
Yes, it does.
No, it just feels, and it's because of the anticipation of this weekend. This is one of those. When you look at Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of this week, I have an NCAA tournament Thursday and Friday first round level of anticipation for this weekend. And because of that, the week has crawled by. And now that we're here on a Thursday, it feels like a Friday.
Colts and Bills will kick off the NFL weekend.
My Bills.
Your Bills.
Family ties to the Bills.
Seahawks, Rams, followed by Tampa Bay and Washington. Which I think is going to be a really good game.
I'm not convinced that the Colts are a pushover in this game. I think the Bills are very good, but I think the Colts have a tendency to compete.
Well, they can run it now.
Yeah, especially if Jonathan Taylor is doing anything close to what Jonathan Taylor just did. So I'm looking forward to all of it. And Seattle Rams could be a good game because neither of them, I think, are terrific.
Well, the thing about the Seahawks recently, their offense has dipped a bit, but their defense is really coming on late.
Yeah.
So, you know, that might be the perfect remedy for them. They found their defense, found their pass rush, traded for Dunlap from Cincy, and he's been very consistent. Maybe they can make a run. On Sunday, Titans and Ravens will kick things off, plus New Orleans and Chicago, and then the nightcap, Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
Feel bad for Cleveland and what they're going through COVID-wise. But we've seen some COVID teams rise to the occasion, including this one that was off for 16 days and came out and played guns blazing. So, I remain hopeful that Cleveland can play well without their head coach.
Hey guys, we have breaking news. This from Mark Schlabaugh, college football writer. Tennessee is not extending contracts of all assistant coaches, and they've put in place a hiring freeze. Amidst the investigation, we asked Doug Matthews about this yesterday. Doug said they were able to hire coaches and they were interviewing possible assistant coaches. Mark Schlabaugh saying Tennessee officials haven't extended the contracts of assistant football coaches and have paused hiring coaches for vacancies as the Volunteers continue to investigate whether recruiting violations occurred within the program.
Who needs to be extended anyway?
Well, they have
a couple of expiring contracts.
They have
contracts
expire. It's not extending. It's just, are they going to re-up them and allow them to coach for another year?
Gotcha.
I said this the whole time. The sign, if you want to see if Jeremy Pruitt's still going to be the coach or not, if there's an announcement of an offensive line coach being hired, that's a sign he's going to be back. If not, sure. As long as that doesn't happen or a defensive line coach isn't hired,
up in the air.
Then it's still a holding pattern.
Well, if you're an assistant, why would you join the staff right now?
Oh, it would have to be a Division II coach that just wants to
get a 2-year. You're not a high-ranking assistant.
You would get a 2-year contract, probably.
And maybe only work 1 year.
I mean, here's how I have felt about this for the last month and a half with Pruitt. The inevitable is going to happen. He's going to be fired mid-season next year if he's not fired now. That's how I view it. I don't see success on the horizon for the Vols immediately. He's got to win immediately.
So, but if
I don't see that happening.
If you're the offensive line or defensive line coach that comes and gets a 2-year deal, it could be relatively sweet deal for you.
Yeah, but I mean, I would be trying to figure out more stability and not having to move. Coaches move enough. I'm trying not to jump around. So
I think also you want to work.
There's a certain level of coach that would do it.
Right.
I think it excludes a different level of coach.
It doesn't help.
If someone's about to get fired somewhere else,
right,
then they may jump on a different ship that maybe isn't sinking quite the level that they are at their current
position.
But
is that the guy you want?
I think that, it excludes the absolute guy you want.
Yep.
But coaches are also arrogant. Right? Coaches may come in and say, well, I'll turn it around. I'll help them turn it around. They've got a good roster. It's not going to be nearly as bad as this last year. And then if you go in and win, hey, that's a big bonus. What did I say about anticipation, expectations? If Tennessee does anything good, it's a pleasant surprise. There's zero expectations on that program if Jeremy Pruitt's there. So this is something to monitor over the next few days. Now we're getting official reports from ESPN and Mark Slaybaugh that they're not allowed to hire coaches or extend coaches. That's not a good sign for Jeremy Pruitt.
No.
And they need this thing to accelerate and resolve.
I don't know what is the collateral damage right now of it dragging out a little bit longer. I don't know that there's a lot of it, because really what you're missing out on are transfers. You're getting hurt in the transfer market.
You don't think there's anybody – I mean, is there any benefit to somebody sliding to the transfer portal at this time? Decisions have been made, right?
No. I mean, there's a lot of people in the transfer portal that have not announced. Tennessee's offered seven guys. One's an Iowa State transfer. Guys all over the place that are transferring that are deciding between five different
places. But I'm talking anybody from the current roster that could still go.
Well, the current roster is going to go when Jeremy Pruitt's fired.
Right.
That's going to be where you're going to have more defection. I think the guys who are there are staying for now, and then if their coach is fired, if they have an affinity for Jeremy Pruitt, here, then you're going to have some guys that decide to transfer. I mean, you had Harrison Bailey's dad tweet out, hey, we love Tennessee, but we came to play for Jeremy Pruitt. He announced that a week ago. So there's a high likelihood Harrison Bailey would then transfer.
And there's a high likelihood the next guy would have a quarterback come to him, you would hope.
Well, they've got one big one committed who's the quarterback and player of the year in the state of Texas that seems to be in love with Jim Chaney and Jeremy Pruitt.
Which makes you question his, at least an element of his game or thought process.
Well, all this is above Fulmer now, is what this says.
Yeah, I think it's a university decision. This is in the hands of Chancellor Don DePlowman and President Boyd.
And Tennessee fans sit in a holding pattern like an airplane stuck in bad weather.
The investigation continues, but this latest development's not great for Pruitt.
It's also, while it's good for our business, another coaching search, right? Like if this becomes Auburn, where Billy Napier turns down Tennessee too.
Well, the former Auburn coach is the best choice right now.
Have you started working on your list? It's time to...
It's right up here.
I started working. Paul mentioned an airplane, and I'm immediately on flight tracker right now. I'll give you what's flying in and out of
Tad's tapping his temple.
Chad's like a good AD. He always has a list. Oh, right.
That's right. It's in his drawer.
It's right up here. No, it's in this drawer, my mental drawer.
Making list and on list.
I'll tell you my list right now.
Monken number one for this one? My list. It's a lot like a Vandy list.
My list consists of three people. Matt Campbell, Luke Fickell, Gus Malzahn. And it shouldn't get past Gus Malzahn.
That's a good list. Matt Campbell.
To this day, I have no idea why Texas did not go all in on Matt Campbell. In their conference and what he's doing at Iowa State. Think of what he could do at Texas with those resources.
He is a very appealing dude.
That's my list of three, just off the top of my head.
Monken four?
In terms of a stabilizer, Gus Malzahn would be great.
Monken four?
Gus Malzahn's kind of the plug-and-play guy.
Chad, yeah. I'm trying to find out where Monken is on this.
Who? Monken? Who?
Army.
Oh, Jeff Monken. Sorry. I didn't even know you were talking about, because Todd Monken just got fired from Baylor, so I thought you were talking about him at first.
Yeah. Where's he, too? I want to know where he is.
He's not on the list at Tennessee. No triple option at Tennessee. Although Jamie Chadwell intrigues me, then it's sort of a modified version of the triple option.
Very local.
We'll get more into names for Tennessee when they officially
fire
Jeremy.
You're going to wait for the actual firing?
When they officially fire him.
We're not going to premature list here.
I think they're going to have to replace the AD if they do this.
An AD list?
I don't know how Philip Fulmer
survives.
Well, not even survives.
Wants to survive.
It's your football program, right? You're the athletic director. You're the national championship winning head coach. And this looks like a witch hunt. And if they're just digging stuff up to turn over to the NCAA, they're committing suicide.
That's what I was saying a few weeks ago. This was leaked for a reason. There are ulterior motives here on an internal investigation that is not at the SEC or the NCAA level yet. And when it comes out on the final day of the final game of the season, and it's about Pruitt and his program, how can you not read between the lines on that?
Well, the media end of it is one thing. I think the...
Not the media end. I'm saying from internally, the person or persons with the information that leaked it, to me it's pretty obvious why they did it.
Well, the person that leaked it did so unknowingly, and more is going to come out about this. It's a player. And Tennessee fans are going to be super pissed when it comes out officially as to why the university caught wind of this.
Unknowingly.
Now, the
like,
university's
realize-
response to it, to then, oh, no, what is going on here, and sit in their
right.
ivory tower,
right.
that is a direct response to wanting to get Jeremy Pruitt fired.
Unknowingly, like, didn't realize.
But the reason that this was put out to the university was not a whistleblower type situation.
Unknowingly.
It was not a, I want Jeremy Pruitt fired, so I'm going to leak this to the university. It's the university's response to it that said we want Jeremy Pruitt out.
Unknowingly, like, didn't realize the magnitude of it. Didn't realize what he was leading somebody to.
He drove the wrong car one day.
Isaiah Wilson level stupidity.
Okay. Isaiah Wilson, you are not alone, my friend.
Isaiah Wilson level stupidity from a guy who's been very dumb on Twitter in the last 2 months, too, at Tennessee.
So Isaiah Wilson's got like a fraternity out there, Hutt. He's got, it's like the opposite of Mensa.
Well, much like Isaiah Wilson, when he actually got playing time, he looked like a JV player.
Do you have a stack?
That's my
of,
guess.
Does he have a stack of singles?
That's my guess.
Ding, 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 ding. Hutton got it.
Stack of singles?
No singles. No singles.
One big difference. He doesn't
Benjamins.
Have the, doesn't have the income. Doesn't have the income.
Look, if it was singles, I'd be angry with my university for going on the cheap.
Well, sometimes, you know, those are less traceable.
Look, things that Tennessee's being investigated over are handled differently at Alabama because Alabama's fully committed to winning in football.
Alabama does everything
and I don't.
Right.
I'm not convinced Tennessee is fully committed to winning in football. They're more committed to fighting amongst each other when one feels like they have the better idea.
Well, do they know how to do these things that Alabama does, behind-the-scenes stuff?
Well, their AD does.
Coming up.
Should rely more on him.
I think their coach would.
Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis, your chance to win. Bobblehead Coach Mack, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, is straight ahead. Plus, a lot to discuss with the Titans and Ravens, part two of the 2020-2021 season. Next on 104.5 The Zone. Who will be the Titans' leading receiver this week? How many points will the Titans score? Play the Titans pick 'em today to submit your playoff game predictions before kickoff for a chance to win Titans prizes, autographed items, and gift cards to the Titans Pro Shop. Download the Titans app and watch the game live. Submit your picks for Titans pick 'em and follow along with live stats, score updates, and more. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. They're online at edleysbbq.com, and we say hello to Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis, who joins us on Thursdays, and he joins us live presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. If you need great health care coverage at an affordable price, let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. They're online at fbhp.com. Mack, good morning.
Good morning, Paul, Chad. Good morning, guys. David Reed, good morning.
Good please, to see you, Coach Mack.
Please call him Dennis.
Dennis Reed?
He prefers Dennis.
I thought it was Davis Reed.
That all of them work. Any variation, but not David.
Anything but David. He's fine. Derek, also. He'll answer that.
Dickie. He wanted to be Dickie as a child. Inexplicably.
Little Dick. Get it right.
That's really inexplicable. That was before any kind of...
My granddad was Big Dick.
This was before any playground experience for David Reed with the boys.
Alpha.
What a name. David
Reed. What's lower than Alpha?
Let me guess. He stormed the beaches of Normandy?
I only stormed the beaches of Panama City.
There we go. By the way, didn't we all? The day's end.
Yeah, I must quickly say, Isaiah Wilson had a fraternity, but it was the opposite of Mensa. Somebody sent in Densa.
Good.
I think that's quite good. I'm sorry I don't have your name in front of me to credit you, but that's brilliant.
Mac, how about the game last week? Before we look ahead to the wild card weekend, which we're going to do in depth, just the craziness and the flow of that game and how things wrapped up with the final 2 minutes and the shootout that was the second half.
But how about our setup where we broadcast it from?
Yeah, let's explain this. So we had an owner's sponsor suite to ourselves at NRG Stadium. But because of COVID protocols, assistant coaches took over our visiting radio booth on the home side of the stadium, which is where the media access is, where Paul and Jim White were sitting, for instance. And Mac, they put us on the opposite side.
I periscoped from what would have been your booth.
Okay.
After the game.
And we were sitting in a massive owner's booth. And it was all to ourselves, spread out.
And we had a chef.
And we had our own caterer.
What was for lunch?
Carving station? Yes. Was it like a meat carving station?
Yes.
What'd you eat?
Just for Titans Radio.
What'd you eat?
Unbelievable.
We had barbecue. We had greens. We had a choice of beans. We had a salad. We had chopped jalapenos. We had it was legit.
Choice of beans. That's fancy when you can choose beans.
No, choice of beans. It was like a tortilla setup type thing. You could make it if you wanted to. I mean, it had a very unique potato salad that everybody thought was very good. It was legit.
Next best thing, Coach, is they had that old lady down in Texas that we want to go to her barbecue joint that we saw on the Netflix show. Snows or whatever the name of it is.
Yes.
If they had her there carving up that brisket for you, that'd be even better.
Yeah, we're going to that, and that's we better hurry trip. Because looking at her, she may not be making brisket for a lot longer.
True.
I mentioned some of the places we go to eat with Coach Mac. This past week, we did not go to El Tiempo, guys. We went to Ninfa's, which Mac was a huge supporter of, a huge fan of. He recommended it. Mike Keith set it up, and Mac, it lived up to all the expectations. You mentioned chopped jalapenos. They had buckets of those for you.
Yeah, and the real ones. Mama Ninfa started it back in the 70s, one of the original Tex-Mex. The original is over there by where the Major League Baseball Stadium is now. It's the original, and she's built an empire, but it is the absolute best. You know, as soon as I knew where we were staying and Mike Keith asked me for a recommendation, I said, there's only one. I mean, it was within walking distance. I don't think anybody was disappointed. Rhett Bryan says he hates guacamole, and he was injecting it into his veins. And so it was pretty good.
I love guacamole, so I would have been.
Oh, this was candy. Yeah. This was candy. I mentioned yesterday on the show, Mac, that Philip Noel's entree looked like dessert.
I often do that. His entree and Brad Willis's were outstanding.
Yeah.
Looking at, I mean, when they bring you the nachos there at Mama Ninfa's, they bring you I ordered steak and chicken for the table, and they bring them out. I mean, it's a slice of sirloin on the. It's not the nachos that you get normal. Those aren't real nachos.
Mac, here come the Ravens.
Here they come,
Baltimore and Tennessee. If you put major stock on how these teams finished. It features two offenses on fire to end the year. Top five yardage leaders. I know the game is about points. We'll start with yardage. Since week 12, how these teams finish right after they played each other. Buffalo is number one in the league since week 12, 449 yards per game average. Tampa, second. Vegas, third. Baltimore and Tennessee, run heavy offenses, fourth and fifth. Baltimore especially gets their production on the ground. The Titans have a 2,000-yard rusher. They have great production from the quarterback position. In those games, Baltimore averaged a staggering 267 rushing yards per game. Tennessee averaged 190 per game since week 12.
Yeah, and, you know, those numbers are really outliers in what's going on in the National Football League right now. And so that's why it makes this a very, very unique matchup. And you, let's talk about, I mean, we know what the run game is here, you know, with us. We've seen it. We've seen it against 8 and 9 man boxes, and we've seen it continue to be successful because they just execute it very well. The inside and the outside zone, being able to climb to the second level, being able to get a hat on people at the second level was huge. That's why let's go back to that game for one running play that was that to me just kind of pointed out, you know, Zach Cunningham is a really good linebacker. And the play where he windmilled and caused that fumble, he was blocked on the second level. I mean, it wasn't like they left a guy unblocked, which this blocking unit is doing a really good job of. You start talking about Baltimore's run game, it has morphed a little bit from the first time that we played them. And when you really start to watch the games, and I watched the last six, it's a little bit different. They're doing some different things. They've gone to more of a counter gap game, which, you know, getting into ball talk a little bit here, you know, what that means is they're pulling linemen across the centers. And you can run a gap scheme in a lot of different ways. You can run a straight gap scheme that they do a lot out of the pistol, where it's just you straight open up, and because of the timing, it works out of the pistol because the back is a little bit deeper. A counter gap run game you can do from an offset back that he can stagger step and let the lineman get across. But what all of that does, and again, it's not all option. You know, everybody, don't mistake that this is just a pure option game. This is a power running game with the quarterback being the primary ball carrier. And guys, when the quarterback is a primary ball carrier, you got to take another element on defense and account for it. And then when you start the counter game with all of those elements, you've got to be able to jump gaps defensively with whoever is at the second level. And then you've got to be able to match those elements as they come from one side to the other. So it's assignment football, it's recognition football, and you've got to be able to give them some different looks to start with, because a lot of it, that if he's going to read it, and I'm talking about Lamar Jackson, if he's going to read which side it's going, he's going to count numbers, you know. And so it's going to be a very, very interesting, much like, you know, just like Tannehill does. You've seen him tap his helmet and change change sides according to what he and Arthur Smith and the offensive coaches have worked on that week. And they're counting numbers. They're counting numbers and to find out where the overhang player is, find out where the extra guy is going to be. So, you know, just technically football-wise, this is a fascinating matchup for me to watch and to see how people fit on both sides of the line of scrimmage.
I found this interesting, Dave. Tell me if you do. I was looking back at the history of this playoff series. We know a lot of it's ancient history. We know the road teams won all of the games. We know Titans lost the first two, have won the more recent two, including last year. Titans have had the leading rusher in all of these games, including the Chris Johnson game where they yanked his ankle. He still wound up with 11 for 72 in that game. It was late enough in the game that he had done some damage. Now people think, you know, he would have done more there, but and I'm sorry, they didn't win the most recent two, right? But he, if they could do that again, obviously they're going to be in awfully good shape. You know, and the hope is on Henry.
Well, absolutely, it is, Paul. And when you look at it, when you start talking about, you know, the history of games, I mean, it makes for good copy, and everybody, you know, and I understand it, but each game's a separate entity unto itself, which all of you guys know.
Only last year's means something here.
Yeah, absolutely. And still, you still got some different people. And here's the thing too, guys, that we're going to look at. I mean, and you're talking about, you know, I mean, Greg Roman has had the Titans have had a you know, for the last two games have had a wonderful scheme against what goes on, you know, with that offense. And I remember defending that offense when I was with the LA Rams, you know, when Roman was at the 49ers. And I mean, you have to be able to have a mindset to play a certain way against this type of offense. But the mindset, though, still has to revert back to, you've got to be very physical, and you've got to be very, very gap conscious, and you've got to be very, very gap sound, just, you know, kind of piggybacking off what I just talked about earlier, because this puts you in a situation as to where they are trying to get you outmaneuvered. And so Greg Roman has watched all of these, you know, these two games, just like our coaches have watched the last two games. So it's going to be interesting to me to see, you know, what the next shot is that they're going to use, you know, what's the next lob back over the net that they're going to use in this game to maybe just, you know, take advantage of even a series or two, which probably this ball game will come down to, you know, a series or two. And you've got to have a mindset going in with this thing that, first of all, it's going to be an extremely physical ball game because, you know, we haven't even talked about the people they have back on defense that were absent from the last game we played them. But and that's the mindset you've got to have. And I know Mike Vrabel is already talking about that. He was already talking about that when they found out who they're playing.
So they get Campbell and Brandon Williams back, but not a lot of people are talking about the fact that the Titans get Roger Saffold back, who was also out of that game.
Right.
How does that reshape everything up front?
Well, let's start with the Ravens side of it. I mean, those two that they get back, Paul, are a big thing because of the way that Wink Martindale deploys his defense and what he likes to do. With his defense, what he really needs, he needs two anchor points. And the anchor points can come inside or the anchor points can come outside. That's where Calais Campbell is so valuable because this is truly a guy that can play up and down, you know, the from tackle to tackle and can make a difference. But depending on where you decide to set those two anchor points, whether you're playing a 4-3 or a 3-4, you've got to have two distinct anchor points. And then everything else, you know, starts to morph off of that as to what's going on. So that makes a difference. And Saffold, you know, it's a good thing that he's going to be in there. Roger Saffold has been a warrior this season. He really has, because he's played through some things, and it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I was around Roger for a lot of years there at the Rams on some not good teams. He's on a good team now, but he always answered the bell, always answered the bell. And so this is important. Our center guard triangle is going to be extremely important. And then depending on what I want to, I'm going to be interested to see, Paul, is if Wink Martindale does what some people, you know, are starting to do right now as to where they are flogging gaps early in the series, they're flogging gaps. And what they are doing, they are playing the run on the way to the quarterback is what they're doing, because the play action game and the boot game has been devastating, you know, for our offense. I mean, it has crushed people. It really has. And all the variants that Arthur Smith has put into it. So it's going to be very interesting to me to see what Wink Martindale comes up with to try to counterbalance it. And knowing that Arthur Smith and his staff are going to have something to.
Mac, you alluded to some of this in an answer earlier, but J.K. Dobbins had 25 total carries in his first six games as a rookie here with the Ravens, and now 109 carries in his last nine games. How are they implementing more of him? And honestly, when they gave him the football against the Titans, he had some success in that game. They didn't give it to him enough, in my opinion, against the Titans defense. Watching that game back, he has been an integral part of what they do offensively now.
Well, absolutely, Hutt. And again, it goes to they've changed it. And look, they've gone to a power game, you know, quite a bit too, you know, with him. And you're right. He has started to be being utilized more, but they've gone to some more 22 personnel, which is two tights, two backs, a blocking element in the backfield, and one wideout. So he's become a big part of that. And to me, what's important about that to note is when you first, let's go back. Let's have some revisionist history. When you went back, you know, to play them, even last season, you know, the quarterback was the runner, whether scheduled or off schedule. Now they've got several different types of runners, and they've got several different types of schemes. Now, as I said, it's the National Football League guys, and you guys know this, but for our listeners, it's an evolving scheme type of thing. And, you know, people talk about the quarters of the season. Well, quarters of the season are important for this reason. You've got immense amount of tape on people, and you can study and break down, and you're doing analysis all during the season. So people have to be able to adapt and to change, because it's a constant, you know, back and forth. As I said, who's going to lob it over the net next, and what kind of shot are you going to use? And so that's why he's getting the ball more now.
The Titans wide receivers got the ball more in the second half. Corey Davis in the second half of the Baltimore matchup earlier this year, five catches, 113 yards. He got all of his production in the second half. It was his best second half of his career, and it happened on the road at Baltimore in a crucial second half where they trailed by 11 points. We know the matchup. It was a matchup you pointed out on Titans Countdown prior to that game kicking off. Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters against A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. The Titans, nine catches, 175 yards, and a touchdown by that duo against a top-tier duo at the cornerback position. I would imagine that's another
close matchup that you're paying attention to on Sunday.
Yeah, and that layers right with what we've just talked about, because we're always talking about the run game. When you talk about the run game, you talk about putting eight elements, you know, to be able to stop the run game, especially on early conflict downs. So if you do that, you're going to have middle of the field closed, which means you have a single high safety, and you're playing man-to-man on the outside. Really, whether you're playing three-deep zone or you're playing man, it's the same for a corner. He's got the guy that's outside one-on-one. And so those our receivers have got to beat those two guys. Those are matchups that are very, very evident that is going to be highlighted in this game just because of the way everybody else is going to be deployed. The way the other nine are going to be deployed, we know what's going to go on outside. Now, you know, what offensively, what are you going to do to try to move those guys, to try to give them a little bit of an advantage, you know, as far as versus the one-on-one stuff? What are you trying to get going to do as far? It's just like that deep shot. Let's say this, like that deep shot that we took with 18 seconds left. The first thing I looked at, Hutt, when that was going on, when we were broadcasting that game, was the protection. Because if you're going down, if you're going that deep, you've got to have the protection. And so this is going to be those matchups are going to be very, very important. And it's a matchup that, if I were going to have to defend these receivers, this is the type of corners I would want. All right. And then if for my receivers, these are the type of corners I want to go against, because I know this, I can get physical with them and then I might be able to run away from them.
Do the Titans want to continue to keep them in base like they did in the regular season game this year? Or is that contingent on whether the Titans Humphreys reemerges and what they force the Ravens to do with Marlon Humphrey, keeping Jimmy Smith on the sideline? It was very effective to keep them in base in the regular season. How much did the Titans stick with that plan? How much might Adam Humphreys change that plan if we see him?
Yeah, and again, you know, I don't know what Adam Humphreys' situation is, and so but if you're an 11 personnel, let's just say you're 11 personnel, it's going to be very interesting. Look, the first two or three series, you know, that we have the football, it's going to be interesting to watch to see what personnel groups and when Arthur deploys it, and then to see what Wink Martindale does with it. So a lot of that question, Paul, will start to be answered after about the first three series, because Arthur's going to check a look and see what he is doing with personnel matchups, because it's always up to the defense to match the personnel. Offense gets to set the personnel tenor. The defense has to match it. That'll probably be answered within the first three series of this ball game.
Mac, I know you have an important phone call coming up, but before that, Farm Bureau Health Plans, they have bobblehead Coach Mac. The Macism, the Coach Mac phrase this week, great job, Sloman. Whenever we repeat that later in the show and we ask for your cue to call, if you call David Reed at Caller 5 later in the show and repeat the phrase, you'll win the Coach Mac bobblehead. I have seen these pop up all over social media with Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Yeah, Randy Wilmore and Farm Bureau Health Plans. First of all, Hutt, we know how much we appreciate them, everything they do.
Yeah.
For us, for the Titans, for everything that they do, they're great. This was his brainchild. It's taken off like crazy. And Mike Keith wants to make great job Sloman t-shirts.
Yes, he does.
I love it. I feel like it's a movie line that should just pop up anywhere, like with people in the background going, great job, Sloman!
I tell you, it was purely organic too, guys, but it was great.
Terrific.
Mac, thank you as always. Can't wait to hear the call this weekend on Titans Radio on Sunday at 11 a.m. Coach Mac takes you through the top matchups to watch with Titans Countdown. That's right off the top of the show, right after you hear from head coach Mike Vrabel. And then kickoff, Titans and Ravens at noon on Titans Radio. Mac, thank you as always.
Guys, I always love Thursday mornings with you guys. See ya.
Mutual.
Coach Mack, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, protecting Tennesseans since 1947. And again, the phrase to win the Coach Mack bobblehead, when we call for it later in the show, great job, Sloman. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
Great job, Sloman!
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. How is Dr. Dre doing? Do we know? He had the brain aneurysm and was in the hospital.
He put something out on Instagram where he said he was doing better, and he thanked all the medical personnel wherever he was.
Good.
Were you trying to get a late dinner last night?
Not dinner. So Claire, is in love with these peppermint milkshakes from Peppermint Chip. I think I'm getting that right. Peppermint Chip milkshakes from Chick-fil-A. And they're seasonal. So they're in their last 2 days or whatever that they're offering them. So
I hate seasonal.
We had dinner and she's like, will you take me by Chick-fil-A for the peppermint milkshake? I'm like, sure. So,
you're so sweet.
We go get in line. You know, it's like going to see the Christmas lights where you get in line and wait for your turn. They have two lines for the drive-through, and it is wrapped around the building at 8:10 last. I mean, nuts.
Could you have gone
craziness?
In?
No, the dining room was closed.
Closed, COVID closed, or it's closed at that hour?
Closed after 8, I believe. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you're sitting in line, and a lot of people are ordering food, but the way they have that whole setup working, the machine that is their drive-thru line.
Well, it's very well. Oh, it's efficient. It's,
yes.
But and, still, how long?
Oh, it wasn't too long. It was probably 10 minutes total. But just when you pull up and you see all of the brake lights on, right? It's crazy.
Is there ever a time where a Chick-fil-A drive-thru isn't packed?
I've never seen it
that
way.
Is it long? Is it 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's not bad. Like, well, I come out of Titan sometimes and go to the one at Metro Center.
It's not a problem.
If you're off peak, it's not bad. But I'm a go-in guy, even if there are a couple cars. At Chick-fil-A, I might make an exception. But
I'm with you. I will not wait in a line.
I don't like to wait.
I'll just park
and go in. I find it more efficient to run in.
The one over on Melrose has a walk-up window, like two or three of them, I think.
That's smart.
So how about this? So they had someone that came in and took your order, right? And they always like saying thank you because they have to say my pleasure. I always like saying that to them because I want to hear them, force them to say it.
You want to hear the script enacted.
Right. And so there is a guy that comes up and takes the order. And then he's like, just continue to pull around and continue to go towards the window. But before you get to the window, someone will come up and take your payment. I was like, okay. So someone else came up to my window and took my payment. They knew exactly what order we had. And then...
like they had a handheld?
Yeah, they had a little handheld thing. And then I get to the window, and there's actually a huge setup outside of the window where they have all the orders set up, and they just hand you your order through the window.
It's a very efficient
through your car window. There's no, you don't actually reach into the building at any point to pick up your items.
Did you get anything?
I had a chocolate shake.
Whoa!
I had a chocolate shake.
There you go. I had a buddy who was driving back from Knoxville last night, stopped in Cookeville at 8:30 p.m. in Cookeville, and it was a mile and a half long line. Couldn't even sit
up
through the line. Gave up.
I want to get more into this with you on the seasonal item. Does Claire respect the seasonal item and the demand it creates, or does she believe, as I do with most seasonal items, if it's good, she wants access to it anytime she wants?
I don't know how she feels about that.
Claire, tweet or text us. I mean, she likes grapefruit beer, which is regarded as a summer beer. But I feel like if I want a grapefruit beer tonight, I should have access to a grapefruit beer tonight.
She likes the peppermint shake, but I mean, the only reason we went last night to get one was because they were, leaving until next winter.
Yeah. So. But, I'm not saying a peppermint shake, maybe you don't want a peppermint shake, and I can understand them not having it in June, but I can't understand them not having it in February.
Yeah.
Like, why shouldn't I be able to get a peppermint shake in February? I don't like that. I don't like you closing the window on the availability of a product that I want.
Derek Mason has a new job. We'll tell you what it is when we come back.
More Bell.
Derek Mason. Getting back into coaching? You said new job. We don't know.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the tease, Hutton.
That is the beauty of the
fashion
tease.
Consultant.
Dancing with the Stars.
615-737-1045, our number 737-1045, if you would like to jump in and join the show. Godfrey will join the show at 10:15, and Harold Landry at 11:15. Midday on 80, delivered by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.